Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys. Another kind of high, kind of brisk and cold morning. I tell you, I'm glad to see everybody out. Last Sunday, and I'm hearing it this morning, worship. Last Sunday, with the time change, I think about half of you were still asleep. You made it to church, and I was glad you're here. But I'm hoping this Sunday we'll get a little more. But one of the things we used to do growing up at church camp was to make sure everybody was kind of in sync, paying attention, on the same page. We did what was called our camp clap. And so I'm just going to see if you guys can do the camp clap with me this morning. So I know the prayer request sheets are being passed around right now. If you're new to Cornerstone, we ask you to write down your name and share your phone number, but also any prayer requests you might have that we can be in prayer for you. That's what we use this for. We promise not to send you anything else except for love and prayer. So as that's getting passed around, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hands together and clap. And it goes like this. It's just one, two, one, two, three. One, two, one, two, three. One, two, three, one, two, three, one. All right, and that's it. So one, two, one, two, three, one, two, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. One, two, one, two, three. Almost, that was pretty good. I heard a couple of people off in the back. We still love you. It's okay. Let's try it again, though. Here we go. Oh, wow! You got it. All right, so now everybody's laughing, smiling. You clapped your hands. They're starting to burn. Everybody's paying attention. That was pretty good. I've gotten really good at clapping as of late because Kaylee loves Ms. Rachel, and we sing the clapping song all the time. Can you want to sing one? Here we go.
We're clapping.
Well, we do it on the way to school this morning, though. She just wants to come say hi, sweetheart. But now, I'll tell you, all right, come here. This little girl will come in every time I go into my office to practice my playing guitar, though. And she loves to play guitar with me. Actually, she loves to take her hands and smack the guitar while I'm trying to play guitar, but I love every second of it. It's so much fun to be able to do that with her that my daughters actually, at Christmas this year, they bought me a little practice guitar, and they put her handprint on it, and they left room for me to be able to add all the future grandchildren that I'm praying will be coming some point in time as well, that they can learn to play guitar with me, because it's so much fun. Now, I'll be honest, it's fun. It's not easy to play guitar with the grandbaby in your lap, or I'm glad she wanted to be up here. It's hard to play guitar that way, but I love it because she just wants to be there with me, and I love her not because she's great, not because she's got great rhythm or anything like that, but because she's mine. You know, I think about that, and God loves us just as we are. Not because we did anything great, and it didn't matter that we were banging around through life, quite honestly, making things harder on Him. He loves us in spite of our shortcomings, but it's awesome to be loved just as we are, isn't it? God loves us that way. And just like with me, though, I love her just like she is, but too much to let her stay that way. You see, what I really want is to spend enough time with her that she learns how to play along with me. That she learns the rhythm, because there's so much that we can do together. And that's what God wants for you. God loves you just as you are, but too much to let you stay that way. You see, He has something more. He wants us to learn to live in rhythm with Him and be able to walk with Him, to experience everything that He wants us to be able to have in life. He wants us to learn to dance to a new rhythm. And we talked last week about how we are changed by God, but we're changed to dance to a new rhythm as we live life by the power of His Holy Spirit. And He wants to guide us through that. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 gives us this picture from Paul. He says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Don't you want more life and peace? You know, the world, I think God's got a far different rhythm for us to be able to live. The world around us, the mind of this world is one of death and destruction. We seem to be slam dancing through life, bouncing into each other, struggling in this perpetual act, while the Holy Spirit brings a new rhythm. And the grace that the Holy Spirit brings into our life is a grace that Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers can't even begin to touch. You see, God wants us to be able to dance in this beautiful way. And life in the Spirit, it takes root in our mind. It works first in our soul, as we talked about last week. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God has done everything that is necessary for you to be saved. And He puts His Holy Spirit upon you as a seal that you are His. But that Holy Spirit wants to do more than just be impressed on our soul. He wants to sink into our hearts. To use an Old Testament term, we need to focus our minds in what the Old Testament would call meditation. You know, we've got to choose to not only admit we need God to save us, but we've also got to turn our mind towards God, and we choose to focus our thoughts towards God. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 proclaims, "Blessed is the man who delights in God's instructions. On it he meditates day and night." He meditates day and night. God's instructions are there for us to be able to grow to be like Christ. In Romans chapter 12, Paul encourages us what it means to really be a disciple, to live as a true disciple of Jesus. But he warns us that the world of this mind isn't what God wants. And so he says, don't be conformed to the image of this world. And what Paul is reminding us is that this world is going to place pressures upon us that are going to try to shape us into the mold of this world, to look like everybody else in the world. You know, all you got to do is look at fashion, and you'll see how this world tries to shape us into a certain mold. We're supposed to look a certain way, or our culture does. And you go to different parts of the world, and you'll see a different culture and how the people there are shaped into the mold of what's expected. And the pressures are always on us. They're always pushing, shaping but not just shaping our appearance, but shaping our understanding. You know, there's a debate going on right now in our country as to whether or not TikTok should be banned. A lot of that comes from the idea is because it's a Chinese-owned company, but it's not because of who owns it. It's because of the influence that this is beginning to represent in our culture. So many people are being influenced by it. And if you doubt that, let me just go back. I mean, you would think that we would begin to see the danger of what social media influence can be. But just how many of you remember this last year when TikTok had the TikTok challenge to do some sort of destruction at your school or steal something from your school? I know right here we had, hand dryers ripped off the walls in the schools? We had things, kids trying to steal stuff like that. It's crazy, and they think they're not going to, that it's no big deal, they're not going to get caught, and it's this challenge, because then they're going to go home and they're going to post it online, and they're not going to get, I mean, they don't even think about how ludicrous it is. But it goes even further. There was a challenge, and it was called the suffocation challenge. It was to see how long you could go without breath until you, basically, you strangle yourself, you choke yourself until you pass out. Now, the problem with choking yourself till you pass out is you passed out. And if you didn't have some way of getting out of that, a lot of kids die. It's stupid, isn't it? I mean, how gullible do you have to be influenced to choke yourself until you're almost dead? And yet it happened. And we would say, that's just crazy. The world shouldn't have that type of influence on us. But here's the thing. Satan is rarely that obvious in the temptation and the influence that he brings that will wreak destruction in our lives. You know, I mentioned joining Snapchat back because Kaylee liked the filters in it. She liked seeing the big long doggy tongue and dog ears and all that stuff. It was cute. But now in Snapchat, I get stories that come every day. And I'll be honest, these things are near pornographic stories that come in on my phone because I joined this social media app. And we say, you know, we understand that this is an influence of our world, and we shouldn't be paying attention to it. But I'll tell you what, if you don't believe, and parents, if you don't understand that your children are being highly, strongly influenced by the lack of moral integrity and the influence of pornography on their cell phones, then you need to open your eyes. And I'll be honest, and this is not any sort of an excuse. It's always kind of been the fleshly desire of a hormonal boy to be able to look at women. That's nothing new. But what's happened in our culture is we've now changed it to where these young women think that it's normal to tease and be provocative and to take their clothes off on video for someone else to look at them. That's scary. It's sad. And we've got to understand the morals that are being pressed in and the mold that Satan is trying to push us into, and we can be very blind to its influence. And if you're just worrying that the minds of young men that are being twisted by this, you're right, but what about the young women that are posting it? This is just one of Satan's methods towards the destruction of our culture. And we're getting pressed into this mold of the flesh. But Paul warns us, he says, don't be conformed to this world. Instead, what he encourages us to do is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How important it is that we renew our mind. I remember the story of a young boy who was struggling to be able to do what was right, and he was talking to his grandfather, and the grandfather told him a story. He said, son, you need to understand that every man has two dogs inside of him. One chooses to do right and good. The other is destructive and wants to kill and destroy whatever it can get a hold of. And they battle each day over every decision that you will make. And the boy looked at him and said, I've got those dogs. Which one's going to win? The one that you feed the most, the grandfather told him. The one that you feed more. Now, I remember being told as a kid, you are what you eat. Well, I'm glad that's not true, or I'd be a Cadbury cream egg right now. But it is true that what you consume changes you. What you consume changes you. And it changes us in the way that we think, how we feel, and even what we perceive. Have you ever found yourself watching something, I don't know, Downton Abbey or something like that, and all of a sudden you're throwing a British accent into your conversations every once in a while? It influences you. You don't realize it. Now, maybe you pick up catchphrases from music or TV, or your mannerisms become more like the people that you're around, and the things that you watch and listen to, that they prime your mind to begin noticing and experiencing those things in life. And it can be good or it can be negative, but it's happening. There's been studies done that have found that people who listen to country music have a more favorable, accepting perspective of alcohol use. If you watch pornography, then the expectations of sex life will change and it becomes unrealistic, and it actually leads, as studies have shown, to a much lower sexual satisfaction in life, in any relationship. And if you feast on depressive news all day long, you get a little depressed, don't you? You get a little frustrated. If you gorge on violent video games, then you're going to find that people who do that tend to become a little more aggressive. And whatever music you listen to tends to amplify the feelings that you had that drew you to that music in the first place. We are shaped, but we aren't shaped always from the outside in. We're shaped from the inside out. It's the things that we take into our life. And so the question is, what are you consuming? Because what you consume will change you. Are you consuming Scripture or Netflix? Is it the things of the Spirit or the things of the world that you're taking in and inviting into your life? The books that you're reading, is it devotional or biblical reading, or is it a fantasy romance novel? And you wonder why your marriage is rocky. Is it worship music or secular music? If you were to look at your Spotify list, or heck, just get in the car when you leave today and see what comes on the radio. Is it honoring God, or is it exemplifying the morals of our culture? Which is it that you're finding yourself surrounded by each and every day? You can go back, as I've showed you before, and just check the apps on your phone and see which one you've been using more. Which one has the greatest time spent on it? Do you spend more time on social media or in fellowship with other Christians? Because it makes a difference. And you may not realize it, but it makes a difference. That's why Paul is encouraging us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But the renewing of our mind happens as we focus on Christ, because transformation comes from the Holy Spirit. You see, I think for too long what we've really taught in the church, especially to our children, is behavioral change. Be good. And what too many parents have taught their children is be good, don't get in trouble, don't embarrass me, grow up to be healthy, wealthy, wise, and upwardly mobile in all the things that you do. As long as you don't get in trouble, you're a good kid. And that's what's been laid out before them. But you know what? God is not worried about your kids being happy. He wants them to be holy. And we, too many times, don't teach what we need to because we're not focused on the right things. The transformation comes from the Holy Spirit, and we're teaching kids how to be good rather than how to be with God. And see, the influence is that when you are with God, you become good. But it doesn't really happen the other way around. You learn how to not get caught when you're just trying to be good. But when you are with God, it becomes a part of who we are. We're changed by the things that we focus on and the people that we are around. And if you don't understand that, here's a little lesson from 28 years of marriage. When we got married, I had this habit that whenever it came bedtime, I took my clothes off and I dropped them right there beside the bed. That's where they stayed. Typically, they stayed until I did laundry. That was just my method and my throughout. I grew up in an old farmhouse. My bedroom was like 20 feet by 22 feet. It was huge. And so I could leave clothes wherever I wanted. It wasn't a problem. When I got married, though, I married someone who is slightly... Rhoda did a personality test one time, and she has the perfect personality. Not that she's perfect, it said, but she has a perfect way for things to be done. And everything needs to be neat and tidy in her perfect little world. My clothes on the ground did not meet well to her perfect little world. And so over the first couple of years of marriage, she repeatedly nagged, lovingly asked that I pick up my clothes and put them in the hamper. And I'm joking. But she did. But she can tell you, it was a daily occurrence for a very long time. But I finally, she convinced me, reminding me, cajoled me, spurred me on towards better things. And now I pick up my clothes and they go in the hamper. But what surprised me was after several years of living this way, I walked into my teenage daughter's bedroom. And you know what I found? Clothes on the floor. I didn't think about, your mom's not going to like this. I thought, why are your clothes on the floor? Don't you have any respect for yourself? Pick those things up, put them in the hamper. Grow up a little bit, kid. This is, you need, and I realized that I was bothered on my insides that my daughter was doing the very things that I used to do. I had been changed because I spent time with someone that I loved. And it changed the way that I looked at things, and it changed what I expected from the people that I loved. And you know, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. I actually say it's better that I pick those things up. But you know, as you spend time with God, what you're going to find is that you're changed. The things that you never saw as an issue, you'll start to recognize as an issue. Sin that you were once comfortable with, you want to start getting cleaned up. Your old sins, the things you used to do, they'll start making you uncomfortable when you see other people doing the very things that you used to do. And like sins like gossip, things that you would have never paid any attention to, as you grow closer to God, you start saying, I don't really like that. And you'll start to move away from it. And you'll start weeding it out of your life. Sleeping in on Sunday morning and skipping Sunday morning Bible study, and you know, it doesn't feel right to sleep in on Sunday morning. Or, man, if you miss church altogether on Sunday, the whole week is just thrown off. How many of you experience that? If you don't have church on Sunday, the whole week just seems off. You see, we become changed. And then as we grow, it changes even more. Our mind is transformed in the way that we begin to see things. And we begin to see things the way God sees things. Sins that you would have never noticed stand out. In the beginning, they're going to frustrate you. You're gonna, and in the beginning, we're still a little immature. And when we see sins and other people committing sins, we get frustrated. Sometimes we even get mad at those people and we say, how could they do that? But as we spend more time with God, our heart begins to change. And when we see people who are committing those sins and choosing to do those things, we're frustrated at the sin. But a heart of compassion starts to come in. And instead of saying, why don't those people get things straight, you begin to pray for those people to understand the grace of God and to have a different way of life because you know that their life will be better. Instead of anger, we begin to have compassion. Instead of passing judgment, we want to extend grace and hope. Because we know that in that is where life gets so much better. You know what I'm talking about? You see, spending time with God changes us. And there's different ways that you can spend time with God. You can spend time with God through Scripture. Remember our verse from earlier, Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. Blessed is the man who delights in God's instructions. On it he meditates day and night. Now here's the thing. We need to spend time in God's Word, but I don't think that what this means is you should never read anything other than Scripture. You should never think about anything other than God's commands. It doesn't mean that you should never watch Netflix. I know that that's not a reality. It isn't reasonable, and you can't always be focused only on God and reading Scripture. But have you ever meditated on the things that are going on around you? Have you ever meditated on the things that you are consuming, maybe the things that are getting pressed into your life, and compared that to the instructions of God? How do the characters in the book that you're reading right now or the show that you happen to be watching, how are they demonstrating godly characteristics or worldly characteristics? Which way is it? How are they maybe good in some ways, but how are they failing in others? What would God have to say to them? What are the consequences of the decisions that are being made in those stories? Or how could you have been better if they had listened to God's direction? How does that song on the radio compare to the way that God suggests you handle your emotional challenges in life? What's it really expressing? Are they really expressing love the way that God talks about love should be expressed? Or are they expressing love in some fleshly way as our world would help us want us to understand it? You see, you can't just blindly consume everything that's put before you. Because you live in a world where it's a buffet, and you will have good things and you will have bad things, and you have to look sometimes at all of it, but you need to understand and begin to look for what is good and true and noble and evaluate those things that are unfortunately not just one or the other, but they're a mixed bag. And as you do that, the other thing you need to do is you need to teach your children to do that. Because see, I think one of the problems is, as parents, sometimes we don't talk to our kids about the mixed bags that they're handed in life. You know that not everything is going to be black and white. We'd like for things to be black and white, but it doesn't work that way. And so what we have to do is teach our children to be discerning, to understand and to see what is good and be able to discern what is bad. And be careful about what they consume, but they need to see the truth, because we can learn to lean into the Holy Spirit and allow God to clarify the lies that Satan is telling us in this world. And that's the new rhythm of the cadence of the Spirit, of being able to identify what it is that God wants us to do. But in order to identify the rhythm that we're supposed to be on, you need to be able to identify the offbeats of the world too. We went to Phil Wickham and Matt Maher concert about a month ago. It was a great concert. We had great seats. We were in the balcony level, but so we could see the stage really well, and you could see the performers down there, but we had the image magnification screen right in front of us, and it was right there, and it was great. And after they introduced a song, the lead singer wanted everybody to clap, and they started clapping. And then you listen to the music, and everybody started clapping, but half the people, all the people in the balcony that were looking at the image magnification, they're clapping like, it's like clap. And what they were like a half a second behind. And I realized the screen was delayed about a half a second from what was really happening on the stage. And in this entire auditorium, you had this totally out of sync group of people for about 10 seconds while they're trying to start this song. I can't imagine trying to play music when you got that many people who were off. It was so awkward. Until we finally all quit looking at the screen and we looked down at the stage, and everybody started to feel the rhythm. And we all got together, and then 10,000 people all clapping together and moving together and singing together. It was beautiful. But until we looked at what was real, it was hard. It was awkward. And I think there's way too many of us that are in somewhat living out of sync lives. Because we're not really focused on what's real. We're focused on some imaginary thing. We're a little late. We don't really get it. And that's one of the best reasons for you to be actively engaged as a part of the church family. Because when you're out there just on your own, you don't have anybody to help get you into sync. But when the rest of us up on the balcony started hearing the people who were in the right and on the right beat down on the floor, we were able to join in. And we came together, but it helped to have them. And when it comes to moving in the rhythm with the Holy Spirit, you need to be able to have people who are focused on God who will help you be able to do that. You see, we've got to learn how to get in the groove. There's nothing worse than when you're out of the groove. And one of the purposes of the church family is to be a support system where we learn to walk and step with the Spirit, where we get in the groove together. And too many of us are stumbling through our Christian lives. We're walking and we're not in the flow. And what we need to do is we need to get in the groove. We're stumbling down the road because we don't understand what it is to really be in sync with the Holy Spirit. We're trying to find our own way and we don't have people around us that are teaching us how to walk and teaching us the right moves. And if you've got questions on which way to go, then you need people around you who are in sync with the Holy Spirit to help you do it. You see, the life of the church family, is about getting in the groove with the Holy Spirit. And some people just want to dance to their own drum. Some people are proud of the fact that they just want to dance to their own drum. And so they hold back somewhat from being engaged in the church. They don't really want to get involved. And I look around this room, and here's the thing. I know some of those people are here this morning. They'll come on Sunday morning, but they don't really get in the groove. But they don't realize how much they're missing out on. And if your idea of being a part of the church is to show up on Sunday morning but then walk out the door and not think about it the rest of the week, then you're missing what it is to be engaged in the family of the church. Because we've got a great party that's going to be going on. You know, I think about it, and we don't really get it, but a lot of us act kind of like a middle schooler at a school dance. And we're standing around the edges, and we're watching other people dance. As I look back and remember my awkwardness in those years and being one of those who stood against the wall, the fun was out on the dance floor. The fun was out there in the midst of everything that was going on. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants you on the dance floor. He wants you in the groove with Him to transform you from the inside out. And I know some of you are like me. You say, well, I can't dance. And maybe you don't know how yet, but that's okay, because all things are possible with God. And what you have to learn to do is trust God, because He's the one that provides the rhythm, and it's His Spirit that will move you if you'll let Him. You see, we aren't going to just learn this line dance. I love watching line dance. It's kind of fun to watch people when they move in sync that way. But God doesn't have a line dance to teach us. God has this incredibly choreographed musical, and everybody's got their part to dance. And they all pull it together. And when it all comes together, it is incredible. But God is the one who teaches us. God promised and foretold in Ezekiel 11:19, He said, I will give them an undivided heart. I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. God will give. God will provide. It's His Holy Spirit that gives us new life and a new rhythm. And we need to lean into Him. God loves you just as you are. But too much to let you stay that way. Don't miss out on the life of the Spirit because you're holding back trying to do your own thing. We need to get in what God is doing, and the Holy Spirit works in us to transform us from the inside out. And our goal isn't just to act differently. We need spiritual regeneration that happens as we spend time with the Holy Spirit. And we don't make ourselves Christians. We spend time with God, and He makes us like Christ. We submit ourselves to God. You know, all you can really do is prepare the soil of your life. You know, it's getting ready to be springtime. Farmers are going to be going out, and just like a farmer who goes out to till the ground, he can till the soil, he can remove the rocks, and he can plant the seed, and he can provide water and fertilize the seed, but he can't do anything to make that plant grow. He can't actually make it sprout. He can't make it grow. All he can do is prepare the soil. And if you want to allow the Holy Spirit to grow and to bring new life in your heart, all you can do is tend the soil. Prepare the soil by providing the nutrients of Scripture. Remove the rocks of sinful behaviors that are keeping you from being able to experience the greatest opportunity to grow. Water the seed of the Holy Spirit with fellowship of other Christians and watch the growth that God will bring to your life as you lean in to Him, and He will bring so much abundance. He will be with you. Our theme verse over the next few weeks is Galatians 5:25. You all say it with me here. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And you may not even realize this, but you're here today because God's Holy Spirit is motivating you. He's creating in you a desire to have a new life and to learn a new rhythm. And maybe it's because you see the world around us and you just know, hey, this isn't good. Something's got to change. Maybe you see the news and you want better for your kids. I can promise you God sees it. He wants better for His children too. And there's this part of you that desires to be able to get in the groove with the Holy Spirit. Then tend the soil of your life. Feed on Scripture. Rid your life of that sinful behavior. And water and refresh yourself in Christian fellowship. And the Holy Spirit will bring growth like you can't even begin to imagine. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If you'd like to talk with an elder, they're going to be by the glass doors back here. Maybe what you need is that holy water that we sang about, that Jeanette was telling us about, of being buried with Christ, being raised to a new life, that the Holy Spirit can indwell in you and stamp His image across your heart. But I just pray that whatever decision you need to make today, if it's humbling yourself, if it's just simply praying and asking God or making a commitment that you will spend more time with Him in some capacity, that you'll choose that today. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit to change us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to rid ourselves of all the things that might be blocking our growth. And Father, I pray that Your Spirit would work powerfully to teach us how to dance to a new rhythm. Transform us, Father. Take our heart and soul, and I pray, Lord, that You would consume us from the inside out. Make us new. And Lord, I know that some of us may even be a little bit fearful of what it really means to ask You to take full control of our life. But Lord, I pray that they would recognize, and we would all recognize and remember, that You are a good, good Father. You want the best for Your children. You have things in store for us that we can't even imagine. You want us to dance and to play in the rhythm of Your Holy Spirit in a way that is so much greater than what we could ever experience on our own. So, Father, I pray that today, if there's anyone here I know everyone here needs to make that commitment. But if there's someone here, Father, who wants to share that with others, Lord, don't let the fear of what other people think hold them back. Lord, I pray that we would stand together, sing together, and even more importantly, Father, that we would walk together and step with the Spirit to Your glory, and that others might know You, and that we might experience the greatest abundance in life as we walk with You. We love You, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Stand with us this morning. The elders will be by the door if you want to talk with someone. But let's pray that God will change us from the inside out.